have him come right up here to this mic where they can hear you. Okay. I call it home.
Let's give Gavin a hand this morning. He's going to be up here leading the singing one of these days. Y'all got a special? Okay.
Are you sure? Is there something on someone's heart this morning that maybe needs to be said or done before we go any further in the service? I feel like this morning I need to try to sing a song. I'm not much of a singer. Braxton Wayne, you want to sing with Daddy this morning? There's a day just out in front of us. I know will surely come. And that eastern sky will open wide, revealing God's dear Son. And I know from here to heaven is just a twinkling of an eye. But in the midst of all His glories will come the sweetest cry. Welcome home, I knew you'd come. Welcome home, you're here for good. And look around, was it worth the wait? Welcome home, step through the gates. I believe, at least for me, I'll see my mom and dad, my brothers and my sisters, and everywhere's a friend. Oh, the greetings will be precious from those we've loved so dear. But no mortal man has ever heard the likes of when he hears. Welcome home, I knew you'd come. Welcome home, you're here for good. And look around, was it worth the wait? Welcome home, step through the gates. Welcome home, I knew you'd come. Welcome home, step through the gates. Amen. 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 Appreciate this. Something else. Anything. Amen. 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 Appreciate this. Amen. Something else? Anything? I think on that song, I heard it the first time over in a revival a couple years ago, and I'll just be honest with you, I wouldn't anticipate them singing it this morning, but I don't know if I've ever heard a song really that just spoke to my heart. He knows us. And he's expecting me one day after a while. He's expecting me. He knows I'm coming. And he's looking for me. And when I enter into the portals of the glory there and of God in heaven, I believe in my heart he'll say, "Welcome home. You're here. Look around. Was it like you imagined it would be? Look how better it is." Boy, I don't know how it'll be, but I know it'll be good. I know it'll be good. This morning, I just want to follow the Spirit of the Lord. Is there something else on your heart that needs to be said or done? anything. All right. If not, pray for us for a short while. I don't rightly know how long I'll be this morning. I've got a few thoughts on my heart. Certainly, I want to encourage you this morning. If you know the Spirit, if you know the Lord, follow the leadership of the Lord. If you don't know Him, I encourage you this morning, like we always try to seek the Lord and to make peace before you leave this place. We're certainly not promised tomorrow. Bear with me, my throat is dry this morning. I have a few thoughts this morning, and I don't want to weary your patience, and I guess this may seem a little different, but this is the thought the Lord has given us. I don't necessarily this morning have a title for this subject, but nonetheless, it's been on our heart. And I am in no way trying to point fingers. I don't really know much about you all here, so I'm not trying to incline anything. But this is what the Lord's gave us. We live in a day and time, obviously, that young children are affected by a lot of different things. Children in school. And not only that, but even parents. We live in a different society of time today. And things are changing. Things are different than when it was when I was a boy. And that ain't been that long ago. Things are just different. And one thing that I really think that has gotten worse, that really hasn't changed very much, is the meanness of people. Just outright, most of the time, that the world, there's just full of mean people. And they say things and they do things that are contrary to the Word of God. Because really they don't know any better. They should have a moral sense about them, but most of the time they don't. And I just want to make it very clear today, and it kind of, I guess, goes along with what the scripture Brother Ronnie read, that words hurt. And I want to make that very clear today. What we say and what we do has an effect on people, and how we conduct ourselves has an effect on people. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I want to talk about a man named David. And all of us are very familiar with him. And I want to talk about also a man named Saul. And a little of this come to light here the other night when we were here and a preacher made a comment about some things, and that kind of got our mind to thinking. But he talked about there that how David had come upon the scene and that he had slew Goliath and that he was, what you'd say, helpful there to the nation of Israel. And Saul loved him. And then when things kind of, you know, David had got into battling and doing those things that we find there that when he had made his way into the city, that the women went about singing and dancing and rejoicing there in the seats, and they talked about how that Saul had slew his thousands, but that had David had slew his tens of thousands. And from that moment on, there was a sense of jealousy that had come upon Saul. And those things continued. Saul made an effort to take David's life. He wanted to kill him. Several times he had his back pressed up against the wall. Several times there was an evil spirit that would dwell within him, and he seen fit that he may take David's life. He wanted to rid himself of him. And I want to make this very clear today, that what we say and how we conduct ourselves as God's people has actions. There's consequences that that we need to look at this morning. And this morning, I want you to pray for me as the Lord would give us a few minutes of your time. And I want to look here in 1 Samuel in the 24th chapter. And I want to take for our reading, we'll just start in the first verse. 24th chapter of 1 Samuel. It says, "And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told to him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, and there was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I would deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. And David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with his words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul, but Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried unto Saul, saying, My Lord the king. And Saul looked behind him, and David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said unto Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee out of the day into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me to kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. And I want to stop there with the mistakes that we've made reading. And I said before, and I want to kind of take our time this morning. We find here that Saul, no doubt, had been, if you read previously, just a little bit in the previous chapter, had been seeking out those Philistines once again. And yet he had drew back and he took 3,000 men that he might go looking for David again. He had a sense of jealousy about him. He couldn't stand the thought that there were those around him that was cheering out David's name. Now there, no doubt, God had anointed David. David had been anointed by the Lord that he would be a king. And no doubt God had raised him up and helped him and had gave him the strength that he had had to go out and conquer those tens of thousands. But not only that, the Bible teaches us that Saul had been anointed as well. And that God was going to use him. And not only that, if he would just have been willing to follow out the commandments that God had given him, that his kingdom could have been established. It could have went on. But yet he failed to do what God had asked him to do. He had tried to take things kind of up on his own charge. And yet he had a jealousy about him that just sunk down in his heart. And he just had a meanness about him, an evil spirit that was within him. And he sought out to kill David. Now yet he's come into this cave. And yet the Lord has given David an opportunity here. All of this time, moments have been going by that the Scripture teaches us. He's had him pressed up against a wall with a javelin, trying to kill him several times. And David has fled for his life. And yet here it is in this moment, he has the opportunity to destroy his enemy. And yet he reaches up and he takes and cuts the corner of his garment off. This morning you may say, well, what does all that have to do with anything? And I want to look here at the key verse of what the Lord's put on her heart in the ninth verse. And it says, David said unto Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. And this morning, church, I want to talk to you a little bit about something I think a lot of times that as most time as God's people, we're just not willing to deal with. And my friend, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about gossip. I want to talk to you a little bit about what it is this morning to be a child of the king. My friend, I'm telling you this morning, when he has raised us up to be godly people, to put an influence in our heart, that when we're around other people, that aren't God's people, that we are to represent Him. We are an ambassador this morning to Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility this morning, when we are around people, that they see a light that dwells within us. That we are a reflection of the light of Jesus Christ. He's put something in here this morning. And we allow that to reflect. Now you say, well, preacher, where have you, you know, listen, I don't know of any circumstances going on. That ain't what all this is about. But this morning, folks, I want to tell you, we're living in a society of time. And even, listen, I was reading a story this week of a young boy between 10, 11 years old that had went to school, and his schoolmates was bullying him. And he went home and he killed himself because of these words. Now, my friend, you tell me today that we don't live in a society of time that words don't hurt people. They hurt. And yet people speak without even thinking about what they're saying. My friend, those things have consequences this morning. And we need to be patient how we deal with things. Now, listen. Our objective is to win people over. That is the objective. There are things as God's people that we can disagree with. We're not always going to agree on everything. We're not always going to see eye to eye on everything. But I'm telling you this morning, as God's people, we have a responsibility. When we see somebody in the wrong, it's not our job to go down the road and run them down, but it's our job to pray for them that they might get the situations that's going on in their life worked out. I thought a lot about a subject that was taught here a couple of nights ago. The Scripture teaches us that we are to pray for our enemies. We're to love those that hate us and despise us. Folks, I'm telling you, that gets rough sometimes, doesn't it? At least it does for me. I'm just trying to be honest with you. I've thought a lot of times when people have been mean and mistreated me in a way that I thought was really not a respectable manner, and yet I'm sitting at home and I have laid there in my bed just as mad as I can be, just about to the point where I thought that I could bite a nail into. And I'm sitting there rolling around in my bed just as mad as I can be. And you know, you want to know what they're doing? They're sleeping the night away. It's keeping me up at night. And finally I come to a point that it's, Lord, it's just time that I forgive them and move on. If we're not careful as God's people, there's little things that can stand in our way. And in our service, David had every opportunity God had given him. He said, listen, I've got you in here in the cave. I've got you exactly where I want you. I've got this opportunity. And just as soon as he had cut the corner of his skirt off, he humbled himself. He thought, Lord, this ain't the right way to go about this. He looked over there at him and he said, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David speakest thy hurt. Folks was talking about things that they didn't even have a clue about. Saul's men, his army, was going about saying, listen, David's seeking to kill you. David's seeking to have your life. Never in the Scripture up to this point is there any evidence of that. David had done everything in his power to have reconciliation with Saul, and yet Saul didn't want it. Now listen, folks. I'm telling you, we're living in a time, if more than ever, words have consequences. We have a responsibility as God's people not to tear people down. It's our job to build up the kingdom. It's our job to help each other. Are we not all trying to get to the same place this morning? Amen. We are, aren't we? It's our job to be a help to one another. David said this. He said, "Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee into the day into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me to kill thee. But mine eyes spared thee and said, I will not put forth mine hand against the Lord, my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." He said, "Moreover, my father, see the skirt of the robe in mine hand? For in it that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it." He said, "The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge of me, but mine hand shall not be upon thee." My friend, this morning, as God's people, we have to recognize who fights our battles for us. When I look at the things that Christ went through as we examine his life and how the Pharisees looked down upon him, and yet no doubt they marveled within themselves at the things that Christ was able to do, and yet they went about trying to destroy everything that he was doing because in their eyes it was contrary to the law. But yet he fulfilled the law. He was perfect in every point of the law. And yet they wanted to destroy that because he did not fit in to their perfect picture that they had in their image of what the Messiah should be. But yet Jesus, in his own stance, he didn't go around, talking what you'd say bad about him a lot of times, but bless his heart, when they'd ask him a question, he'd turn around and answer it with a question. Examine yourself. He wasn't a smart aleck about it. He was trying to win them over. Nicodemus, a Pharisee there, within his own self, no doubt had seen things that Christ was doing. He'd come to him by night, I guess afraid of his reputation, but there was enough that had been done that he said, "I want to go talk to this man." He had enough respect in him that he called him Rabbi, Master. He knew there was something about him. And yet even in that, Jesus explained to him, he said, "You must be born again." And he examined himself, "Well, how can that be? How can you enter into your mother's womb again?" And yet Jesus, even in his own, he was trying to win him over. And folks, I don't have a lot of evidence of it, but I tend to believe Nicodemus found what he was looking for. Words have consequences. No matter, you say, "Well, preacher, we all know this." Why is it that it still, I feel like it's still something that we're learning about? Our job this morning, like I said, and I want to make this clear. You remember that a little deal back whenever we was a kid, our teachers would come and they would whisper a little something in our ear, and then if we was to go around the whole classroom, and before it got to the end of the classroom, what was said, how many times did it come out exactly like the teacher had told the first person? Y'all remember that little experiment? Did it ever come out like it first started? It didn't. When we've got an issue or we've got a problem, the Bible teaches me that we go to the one that we've got the problem or the issue with. And that we try to settle it there. Running people down ain't going to win nobody over. It's our responsibility this morning. And listen, bless your heart, y'all may not like this kind of stuff. I don't like preaching on it sometimes. But bless your heart, I want you to know this. I'm still going to preach on sin. I'm still going to talk about things that we don't like to hear about. Because, my friend, that's what the Bible teaches me. We've got enough things going on out in the world that's trying to tear God's people down. We don't need to help each other do that. It's our responsibility to try to help one another. Each and every one of us have faults this morning. Each and every one of us have things that's going on. It's our job to be a help. Not to run around talking about things that we really don't know what's going on. I'll just be quite frank with you. If you don't know what's going on, we might as well not even say nothing at all. I want to say this, and then I'm going to close. I want to take some reading out of James in the 3rd chapter. I'll not weary your patience too much longer. In the 5th verse, it says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil and full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewithin curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Doeth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter?" But yet I want to read down here at the 13th verse. It says, "Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." He says that the tongue is a fire that no man can tame. I'll just be honest with you. My children have learned that even from a young age. You want to know what they say to me when they get mad at me? "Daddy, I don't love you anymore. Daddy, you're mean to me. Daddy, you hurt my feelings. You're not my friend." And for the first couple of times, when they said, "Daddy, I don't love you anymore," that hurt Daddy's feelings. Now, Daddy don't worry too much about that no more. But they learn from a young age that words can hurt. Words can tear down. Words can do this. When young people do the best that they can financially, and yet we turn around and maybe they can't afford the best or whatever, and somebody says something, honey, that may destroy them. When somebody's done something that may not be what you think it ought to be, search out what God's put in your heart and get to the bottom of it. If you've really got a scriptural issue with it, go to God. And then go to them. Folks, I'm telling you, I'm tired of getting on. I'm tired of getting on Facebook and reading about these little 10 and 12 year olds that took their life because somebody's hurt their feelings. Boy, it hurts me. I'm not talking about they went and beat on them and punched on them. I'm talking about they got on them and talked about their clothes and this was just mean to them. Folks, that's a society, a time that we're living in. That hurts my heart. That poor little feller. And our young people are going through those things. And listen, if we ain't careful, as mamas and daddies and grandparents, if we ain't careful, we're standing in the kitchen and we're talking about this and we're talking about that. You understand what little ears hear? Boy, they pick on everything. Well, mom and daddy think it's okay to do this.
It ain't okay. We ain't to run each other down, but we're to build each other up the best that we know how. Pray for one another. Love one another. Support one another the best that we can. That's what we're trying to do. David said, Saul, we've got in this situation because your men have went around saying these things. Listen, the tongue, how great a fire that it can kindle. No man can tame it. You want to know who can tame it? God can. God can. Listen. People are going to judge and people are going to say things. And I'm not sitting here this morning. I'm not saying that I don't. I believe the scripture teaches us to judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. I'm not saying that there ain't a time and a place to judge. But boy, I want to tell you this one thing. My Bible tells me before we go trying to pull a 2x4 out of our brethren's eye, the toothpick out of our brother's eye, you better pull a 2x4 out of yours. You know how many times I have to do that? You want to know how much this right here affected me before I brought it to you this morning? It's easy when somebody hurts us to want to go to somebody else and say, well, this is going on, and can you believe this, and can you believe that? And you want to know what God's really asking us to do? He's really asking us to humble ourselves and pray for them. If there's any change that's going to take place, you know who's going to do it? God is going to do it. God is going to make the change in somebody. And we've got to seek out His counsel. You'll never know how much you can help somebody. Church, I want you to know this morning, if this was for anybody, it was for me, I guess. You say, well, preacher, you ought not be gossiping. I ain't trying to gossip. I really ain't. I'm just telling you how it is. If we got time to gossip, we got time to talk about God. There's a saying I heard one time. You know, the scripture teaches us in Matthew 18. It says, where two or three are gathered together, I will be in the midst of them, you know. Well, there's a little saying that says, where two or three are gathered together, there's gossip going on. Folks, where two or three are gathered together, allow Jesus to be in the presence of our conversations and everything that we do. And then when He is, we don't have to worry about anything else. You know why? Because it's all about Jesus. Every bit of it is. I hope this morning this has been a help to you. But folks, I'm telling you, that hurt my heart. I thought, why is people so mean? Children's just children. But they've got to pick that up from somewhere. They get it from home. I feel pretty confident that even young Christian children are probably bullied just as much as anybody. If you're a Christian, as it's been said, we're going to be persecuted. You might as well get used to it. I don't even know up until recent times in years if I've really ever truly been persecuted. But bless your heart, Brother Miller made a statement. He said, if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be persecuted. And if you ain't being persecuted, bless your heart, maybe you ought to examine yourself. I think there's a little truth in that. I really do. That's my message today. I guess that may seem a little odd to you, but that's what the Lord gave me. Is there anything on your heart, anything